Hey there, everyone. So many of you know that I spoke with Alex Clark of the Spillover podcast about daycare last year. And that conversation resulted in a huge back and forth, both online and between me and countless 30-something women in particular, but women of all ages, who are struggling big time with work-family balance and just new motherhood in general. And Alex was kind enough to bring me back onto the Spillover, this time in person, several weeks ago to discuss my new book, How to Build a Better Life, a new roadmap for women who want to prioritize love and family. And we discuss all kinds of things related to dating, marriage, money, work, and of course, motherhood. I highly recommend checking out this new episode, which I have linked for you below. And a quick shout out to Alex, by the way, who's energy and enthusiasm is totally infectious, and whose commitment to countercultural issues clearly mirrors mine. So at this point, she's literally my favorite person to talk to about these issues. We need so many more Alexes, but unfortunately, we only have her at the moment. So I highly recommend subscribing to her podcast, which again is called The Spillover with Alex Clark. So on that YouTube link that I have for you below with this conversation, there's like hundreds of comments below, obviously, and I want to read two in particular that I know women will relate to. The first one is as follows: The problem you have with all these moms who plan to go back to work when their babies are born and then have their first child is that they're completely blindsided by the fact that this plan they had in mind was a horrible one. And now you have to have the conversation with your husband to stay at home and completely start from scratch on figuring out how to make it financially. She's absolutely correct about that. And I know a lot of you will relate to this. Another comment, quote, the pressure to produce is so real. I think women feel this differently than men do. Definitely, that's true. I'll come back to that. Especially after becoming a mother. It creates so much stress, which snowballs into other areas of a woman's life. Men do not understand the stressors of a mother. It's different. And so if a wife presents this to her husband, he is unlikely to understand. So I chose those comments in particular because they get to the heart of what I am besieged with every week in my inbox, either just as a straight up email or comments on social media or in the intake forms for the coaching sessions that people sign up for with me. Here's just one comment from a recent intake form the other day. I am deeply struggling with how to navigate my work with motherhood. I just want to be with my baby. And I'm just inundated with these comments and these women who are blown away at the feelings that they're dealing with in so many different aspects of new motherhood, but specifically as it pertains to the life they had pre-kid. Meaning, how the hell now am I going to marry this former life that I knew of work and individualism and, you know, career focus with this new life that I didn't even know I was going to want to throw myself into? I just thought I was going to, you know, fold babies into the equation and the plan that I had. And oh my God, this is so hard. And why didn't anybody tell me? I mean, that's basically the gist of it. Not only tell them that it isn't possible to go back to life as you knew it, and just like throw a baby into the equation, but also just what it's like to care for a baby in general and the strong feelings that they have about wanting to be with their baby. See, nobody ever talks about that. We don't talk about, we definitely don't talk about the needs of babies and toddlers or just children in general. That just never comes up in the conversation about work, family, balance. But we also don't talk about how much mothers want to be with their babies. We never talk about that. It's like it's not a thing. And so then when women get into this boat and they're feeling it, like, chemically, like in there, they're as surprised as you are about it. They don't understand why nobody warned them about this. And that's where I come in, because I was raised so differently, and I planned out my life so differently, and I'm mad at the previous generation of parents who just skipped that part and just didn't teach their daughters what they should have about this reality, so that they didn't get into the position that they are now in. So I'm going to read for you some questions and just answer them right here. I'm just going to answer these emails. I'm not using any particular names because I didn't even keep a lot of them. Dear Suzanne, I need your expertise. I had my son in 2018. After 12 weeks, I went back to the workforce. I knew that daycare was not an option, so my mother-in-law decided to retire and stay home to take care of my son. She loves it, and she's a wonderful second mom figure. COVID hit. I found out I was pregnant again with my second son. I was laid off for 10 months, so I was able to spend time at home. I loved it so much. After having my second son, I went back into the workforce, and my mother-in-law watched both of my boys and has continued to be an amazing grandmother. My job is 40 hours a week. I'm home by 4:45 every day and on the weekends. With my kids not being in daycare, since my mother-in-law watches them and I am home early in the evenings and weekends, have I set my children up for success? Did I make the right choice? To me, and she's not the first person to describe a similar situation where you've got like the best childcare situation that you could have, that, you know, many women would die for, and you're still unsettled and you're still unhappy because you want to be with your baby. And, you know, at this point, it isn't even about necessarily the needs of the baby, who clearly has grandma at home, and that is absolutely, absolutely second best. But it doesn't cover the feelings that the mother is having about wanting to be the person in charge of baby, the person bonding with baby, the person for whom the child goes to, not the other person that they are paying or maybe not paying to be there instead of her. And so, that's one example of the kind of emotional turmoil or the kind of predicament that young new mothers are in today. That's just one. There's more. Dear Suzanne, pregnant with my first, I just went to part-time with the intention to quit in 2 months. No debt except my mortgage, minimal frugal lifestyle. She goes on about money and that they're in good shape. We've trimmed a lot from the budget, applied all the tips and tricks. I know this is the best decision, and I have a dream man who wants me to be able to be home, but this transition is difficult as I didn't realize how much of my worth I've put into how much money I bring to the table. There's another example of the kind of thing that women are dealing with, where they want to be home, but they literally don't know how to switch gears because they put so much of themselves and their identity into the workforce and don't know how to extricate themselves from that and be good with just being a mom, which infuriates me because, again, that's cultural, that's parental, that's taught. It's not, you're not born with those thoughts. You picked up this idea from the culture and or your parents that somehow this is a lesser life, or it's not enough if you are just exclusively focused on raising children, despite the fact that it's seriously the most important job you'll ever have in your life. And I'm not just giving lip service to that, but anybody who's done it knows the unbelievable amount of work that goes into that job, and anybody should know the significance of it. So why it even has to be explained is truly, truly sad to me. But that's how badly we have steered young women into believing that their worth is tied up in what they earn. So she's not alone in that respect either. In fact, here's another one that's similar to that. It's a long email. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically she was home with her baby, but then she got grandma in and the child started calling that person mom. Sorry, her own mother was taking care of the baby. So she was good with it for a while. But as soon as the baby started calling her own mom, mom, well, of course that's upsetting. Of course it is. And of course she lives with her, the grandmother. So that makes it a little bit more challenging. But she says, I feel like I still want to quit my job and be home with my kids, but I feel pressured to disappoint my new team at work. And so it's just, people say I should just keep working and be thankful that my mom is with our kids, but I don't want to miss out. I love being a mom. That's just another example of what I've already said. And then this is probably yet another example of the other one. Hi, Suzanne. I just listened to your latest podcast on the Spillover with Alex Clark. I know your stance on daycare, but what about family members watching children while mom works? I'm expecting number two. And I'm thankful to have grandparents locally that will watch my babies at their house while I work. But with number two, I want to stay home with them both. Since we don't have daycare costs and we have healthy relationships with grandparents, am I being a bad mom by wanting to stay home instead of contributing financially? Listen to that. Am I being a bad mom by wanting to stay home instead of contributing financially? That's how bad this is. The most normal, natural, and right thing to do, which is to be with the baby you just gave birth to. What could be more important than that? What could be more natural than that? And we have so acculturated young women to what I said before, you know, connect their identity with earning, that they want to know if you're a bad mom for wanting to be with the baby that you just gave birth to. I mean, it's enough to make you nuts about how ridiculous this culture has become with this topic. And just one last one. This one's from Sydney, Australia. I have two daughters, almost 2-year-old. I love your content because it resonates with my approach to motherhood. My girls have never been in daycare. I work one day a week as a primary school teacher, within which I have my mom available to care for the girls on this day. I'm extremely frustrated at the judgment I receive. This is Australia, by the way. This isn't even America. I am extremely frustrated at the judgment I receive for caring for my girls and the questions and comments I get when I meet the other mums, they call them mums in Australia. The first question to me is always, are they in care? Have they had much care? Or the one that angers me most, are you planning on putting them in care at all? What has our society come to that I am the odd one out for caring for my own children? Why is it acceptable to be asked this constantly, but I can't ask, are you planning on caring for your children and sacrificing whatever that may mean? I am so over being asked about when I'm starting them in daycare that I'm contemplating beginning to lie. Yeah. So this culture is twisted, completely twisted with its priorities, its values, and its understanding of what goes on in those early years in particular, but just with marriage and family in general, you know, and believing that career and money is more important and needs to be prioritized over marriage and family. That is where we are. Everyone's sole focus and identity is wrapped up in this other thing that is not sustainable for women for a lifetime. Your priorities change, pure and simple. And 30-something women in particular, the reason I'm focusing in on that group is because it takes about that long before the light bulb goes off. And they then realize that they have been totally lied to their entire lives and now have to undo decisions that they've made financially, relationally, professionally, that have gotten them into this boat. And Anyway, that's why I wrote this book, How to Build a Better Life. It's ideally to help the younger set, so those in their 20s, map out a life that works so that they don't end up in this boat when you're in your 30s. However, it also is just as much for the 30-something group as well, because I argue that you can always rebuild your life when you have this sort of epiphany down the road, which most women do. It is harder. It is harder to undo choices that you've made throughout your 20s. There's just no question about it. So I don't sugarcoat that. But that doesn't mean it isn't doable. It just means you're going to have a harder time of it. So it's really designed for both groups, both, you know, starting out, here's how to do it right so that you don't end up there. And or if you are there, here's how you regroup and rebuild so that you can live a life that's more commensurate with what you want today and that you weren't set up for, unfortunately, by those, you know, around you, by your mentors, your mothers, your the culture, whatever. It's makes me crazy, but you have more power than you think. It's just really about rejecting culture at the end of the day. That's what it is. And building a life that you want, not that somebody else tells you you should want or what the people around you seem to be doing. So anyway, check out that interview with Alex Clark. Once again, I have it linked for you below. And yeah, that's it for today. See you all next time.